are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, October the 8th. And Pistons basketball is back. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spending your time here with the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to run down the action from the Pistons preseason opener, a loss to the Orlando Magic. I'm also going to give you my three biggest takeaways from that one. And at the end, we're going to hear from Tom Gorez, the Pistons owner, from Monday's practice facility unveiling. We'll have more on the facility on Tuesday. I was out there in the news center area for the Henry Ford Performance Center unveiling, opening, ribbon cutting, whatever you want to call it. There was no ribbon actually there. We saw the first basket officially at the Performance Center by the City Year Kids with Andre Drummond as well. But I've just figured you guys are more interested in basketball tonight. I am too, after watching this game on Monday. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore to that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. We appreciate you guys spreading the word, the retweets, all the engagement. We like all that stuff. That helps us be more findable to everyone else, helps the numbers go up. And the more the numbers go up, the more money I make, so that I can put more time into the Locked On Pistons podcast as opposed to other endeavors to try to make that paper. So first, I guess maybe the biggest news from the day in terms of something that wasn't expected, something that is, you know, quote-unquote news as opposed to a game happening in a performance center unveiling that we knew was coming and knew was scheduled, obviously, was the courtesy of Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press. Haven't seen him write a story about this yet, just a tweet, but he had a report on Twitter that the Pistons will eventually erect an Isaiah Thomas statue someday at Little Caesars Arena. Obviously, this is something that is in the beginning stages, but it sounds like the Pistons have committed to doing just that. No surprise, really, but not something that has been talked about in my sphere, anyway. I haven't seen anything about it. But, yeah, that's kind of the news of the day, is that Zeke, who spent some time with the Pistons, we'll get immortalized, bronzed, I guess, at Little Caesars Arena, which is smart. You know, obviously kind of a nice symbol for the team, a nice symbol for the city, the little guy who was the leader and the engine of the Bad Boys in a lot of ways. And, you know, for a small player to be as powerful and as played with such heart like he did, obviously well-deserved. And congratulations to Zeke. And looking forward to seeing the progress of that endeavor and the statue someday to go up there in downtown Detroit. So, moving on to basketball matters from Monday, and again, feel free to, you know, we want to pump the brakes a little bit. Obviously, it's the first preseason game the Pistons are going to play. Five preseason games, and like just like every other sport, preseason means nothing. But we do have a daily podcast here, so we do want to talk about some things on a kind of a broad stroke of things that did catch my eye. We're not going to make any absolute judgments, except I do have one absolute judgment that we'll give a little bit later that a lot of you probably share this opinion with me, and looking forward to seeing how this all plays out in the preseason and beyond. But in the game on Monday, the Pistons lose the preseason opener 115-91 to the Orlando Magic, who are playing their dudes. I mean, they're kind of going for it. Jonathan Isaac played 29 minutes, 16-7-5 for him. Aaron Gordon had 25-8. He could be primed for a breakout. They killed the Spurs, as George and Greg talked about on the telecast on Saturday, too. So I guess they're kind of putting themselves in the driver's seat for the preseason championship for Steve Clifford's team. 13-8 for Mo Bamba off the bench after an injury-riddled and disappointing rookie season for him. Speaking of disappointments, Markelle Fultz, he played a nice floor game, 8 points and seven assists, but didn't knock down any jumpers. Everyone's keeping their eye on that, obviously. But the Pistons had Dwayne Casey. They didn't play the main guys nearly as much as Orlando, although they played them more than I figured they would, especially with Dwayne Casey, the way he was talking earlier in the day at the unveiling, saying, hey, our main guys aren't going to play much. I kind of expected that they would start and play 5 minutes, and that was it. But was kind of surprised that Dwayne Casey played the main guys as much as he did. Blake Griffin maybe being the exception of that. He didn't play in the second half, although he did get a solid 14 minutes of a run in the first half. Christian Wood was kind of the story of this game, 19 points and 8 rebounds. Plenty more on him a little bit later. But Andre Drummond kind of showed off the whole arsenal. He went full Andre in this one, 14 points and 9 rebounds. Showed a lot of the good, but also lots of the bad as well. Airballed a 3 to start the game, clanked it off the backboard. Slammed it off the backboard is maybe my way of putting that pathetic 3-point shot he put up. He literally missed by about 2 feet, maybe a foot and a half. And hard to do on an NBA shot that's not from half court. The Pistons fans, I think that you should be rooting for him to shoot as many of these as possible in the preseason and keep rooting for the air balls and the embarrassing misses. He's getting panned on Twitter right now for the miss, deservedly so. Andre Drummond is once again talking about having the freedom to shoot threes throughout the season. He's also talking about having an offense maybe more designed to play into his passing abilities, maybe him getting the ball up around the top of the key some. And you know teams are going to dare him to be shooting those threes, so it might be something, obviously will be something we'll keep a close eye on, but hopefully not something that goes too long in terms of the missed shots. He's wanting to do it. We know he's been wanting to do it for a long time. He trains with it in the offseason. So really kind of the same as last year, a carbon copy in a lot of ways, except we all kind of expect the same thing to happen as last year, I think, that he'll kind of prove that he can't do it in the preseason. It might spill over to the first week or so of the season, and Dwayne Casey does the right thing and kind of puts an end to it. So we'll see how it all plays out. Last year, by the way, Andre Drummond was 13.2% from three-point land, 5 of 38. And now, to his credit, a handful of those are half quarters or some of those impossible end-of-shot clock situations or something like that, I'm sure. But still, ugly no matter how you slice those kind of numbers. 10 points for Derrick Rose in his Pistons preseason debut off the bench. Don't think that he played particularly well, though. I don't know if I'm going to be a fan of the Derrick Rose experience on your own team. But we'll see how it all plays out. Svi, Mykhailiuk, and Luke Kennard each knocked down a couple of threes. We'll talk about the defense as a whole a little bit in the next segment. But also wanted to pass along Sekou Doumbouya, made his Pistons preseason debut, as did Jordan Bone and a handful of others. Tony Snell played pretty well. But Sekou played the final 9 minutes of the game. He scored 3 points, knocked down a pretty-looking 3-point shot for his only points on the night. But overall, you know, he looks 18 years old. He's scattered on defense, inconsistent-looking shot on offense. He had those bad-looking free throws that he was 0 for 2 on. But I can't imagine is maybe more of an apt way of putting it. I can't imagine what it's like. You know, it's probably pretty weird to be shooting threes for the first time in Little Caesars Arena in your first NBA game. So I'm going to give 18-year-olds those kind of a pass for a few weeks in the preseason and even into his first, you know, real run in some real games, that the nerves and the adjustment to NBA life can give him some leeway there. But you really kind of saw at times the same kind of nervous hitch that Andre Drummond has in games when he's shooting three-pointers. And I'm sure that both of these guys are consistent in a lot of ways and can get it done in practice, but you have to become a master at it before you can get it done consistently in games. You can't be overcome by the kind of yips that you have when you're 18 and playing in your first NBA game like Sekou is. And a reminder of something I saw on Twitter the other day from Keith Langlois, a Pistons.com friend of the show. He tweets, and I quote, "You probably know Sekou Doumbouya is the NBA's youngest player. Know where else he'd qualify as a young player? The Big Ten. Michigan with Franz Wagner, and Michigan State with Julius Marble each have only one player younger than Sekou Doumbouya, and Marble is only 6 days younger than Sekou." So keep that in mind all season long as the Sekou experiment, like I said, probably ends up in Grand Rapids for much of the year, and is certainly not in any way, shape, or form an impact player for the Pistons as a rookie this season. The Pistons preseason continues on Wednesday with Dallas at home. That's the only trip for Luka Doncic to Detroit this year, as the Mavericks will be playing the Pistons in Mexico City for the one game that is technically the Pistons' home game. And also, Luka did not suit up for the one Mavericks game in LCA last year. So it could be Luka's first game and only game this year at Little Caesars Arena if he does play. And then the Pistons will be home for the preseason home finale at Friday night, 7 o'clock against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then two on the road next week, Tuesday at Philly, and then Wednesday on the second half of a back-to-back at Charlotte to close the preseason schedule. With the opener coming 2 weeks from Wednesday, 2 weeks from tomorrow, Wednesday, October 23rd at Indiana, followed by the home opener on Thursday, October 24th at home against the Atlanta Hawks. So basketball is coming. It's on the way. And looking forward to spending this season with you guys once again. But Indochino is the world's, as I drop my glasses, the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Again, Indochino.com, enter promo code Locked On for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. Up next, I'm going to give you my three main takeaways, the biggest things that I'm taking away from Monday's game, because we've got to have some opinions here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I'm going to play some of the audio from Tom Gores at the Pistons Henry Ford Performance Center unveiling the practice facility / team headquarters unveiled on Monday. One of the things they talked about there was how nice it is to have the team's operations and the team underneath the same roof as opposed to how it was with the practice facility at the Palace of Auburn Hills across a big parking lot from the actual palace where the offices were. So a little bit more convenience there for the Pistons. But like I said, we'll talk more on Wednesday's show about the facility itself, my thoughts on it, and some more audio from some of the dignitaries that were there as well. But have some more thoughts to pass along from Monday night's game, the 115-91 preseason opener loss to the Orlando Magic. And the one that everyone's talking about, and that's Christian Wood. This guy picked up on waivers from the Milwaukee Bucks, who dominated at times the last couple years in the G League. He had 19 points and 8 rebounds against the Magic. Also played well in stretches for the Pelicans last year. The way that this team is set up, again, we're all sitting here knowing that the Pistons are not championship contenders this year. They're not Eastern Conference championship contenders or anything like that this year. This is still a team in development stage. And for looking at that, you need to kind of roll the dice on some young players, see if you can make out on it. And Christian Wood is one of those types of players. Is he a perfect player? No. But is he someone that flashes potential and someone who could possibly become an impact player in the NBA down the road, maybe not even this season? Yes, I think he has shown enough. And I'm willing to say, after one preseason game, after my only extended look at Christian Wood's entire career, that Christian Wood needs to make this team. Just from that one game, if he goes out and lays an egg in the next four preseason games, I still say he's shown more potential and more ability in this one game that says that he needs to make the team. Now, obviously, what's the mechanism for Christian Wood to make that team? The most obvious one is Joe Johnson being cut, because those are the two guys who don't have fully guaranteed contracts this year. So it'd be the one that makes the most sense for the Pistons books-wise. But obviously, there's a lot of other options out there. If you want to swing a trade and get rid of a Kyrie Thomas or a Langston Galloway, Kyrie probably a little bit easier to trade. Langston Galloway probably got to attach something to him at this point. Thon Maker is another guy who's drawing the ire of the Pistons Twitter for good reason. He doesn't look like he's really going to pan out to much throughout his NBA career. Obviously, best case scenario, the Pistons are able to hold on to him this year and see if some things are able to happen, some things are able to blossom for his career, but not real a lot of reason to be too excited about Thon Maker's career. And I know that we're talking about both sides of our mouth a little bit, maybe contradictory, saying that you want as many bullets in the chamber of young players is a reason to keep Christian Wood while we're kind of dispatching Thon Maker. And again, perfect world, you are able to hold on to Thon Maker and have him see if it's able to work. But if you had to make a choice between someone taking a chance on Thon Maker and getting a second-round pick for him right now, you probably would do that in hopes of keeping Christian Wood instead. I just think that Christian Wood, big guy, able to rebound, able to score around the basket, knock down a three. Everything looks good. Everything looks natural. You can see how he scored over 20 points a game in G League game the last couple of years. Defensively, obviously, there's a lot to be desired there. It's a piece. It's a future piece. It's something to possibly rally around. It's someone who could play in the rotation this year and maybe even be a rotation guy for several years down the road. And especially when you're looking at the Pistons, not only is there a true backup center on this team, which Wood could be, Andre Drummond is going to be a free agent after this season, could be someone who walks. And not only should you be preparing for the possibility that Andre walks, but maybe you should be thinking about that in terms of how that could help you out and what you could do and how you could modernize your team. And is Christian Wood the answer as a starting center? Probably not 1 year from now, but certainly a guy who can get some minutes for you this year and possibly be part of the minutes rotation at the five or maybe even the four going forward as well. So a lot of reasons to keep him. And with Joe Johnson, again, it's one game. He's shaking off the NBA rust after a season. We're not going to get too harsh on Joe Johnson from one preseason game. So I will say that Christian Wood did enough in one preseason game to show that he deserves a spot on this roster, whereas Joe Johnson, we're going to give the 38-year-old a little bit more time before we start talking about him. But, man, that was a rough opener for Joe Johnson, and really how you might expect a 38-year-old who didn't play in the league last year to look out there on the NBA court. But, again, we'll give him a little time to shake off the rust before we write his obituary for his time in the NBA there going forward. And Joe Johnson obviously is a guy who might be able to turn things around and might be able to get you some buckets at some point, but it's not looking good right now. The second point I wanted to make about the preseason, just from watching it, we know the roster construct. We knew a lot of things going into this game, but we learned a little bit more. And I was reminded about the struggles of the second unit defense. Looking at guys like a unit that might include definitely Luke Kennard and Derrick Rose, and then possibly the Markieff Morris or Thon Maker or Christian Wood, some combination of those guys, or maybe the one of the guys on the wing, talking about Svi Mykhailiuk, who got big minutes in this one, one of the first guys off the bench, as did Langston Galloway. So maybe even up with those guys for the backup, one of the wing slots in the second unit right now. Obviously throw Joe Johnson into that mix, Khyri Thomas, maybe even Sekou Doumbouya as well. So, but any combination of those names we just talked about in concert as a five-man second unit in that second quarter, man, that's going to be tough for that group to stop a lot of teams. Now, we know there's not a lot of great scorers in the second unit that you got to stop around the NBA, but there are some. You know, the Lou Williamses of the world, every team seems to have some sort of scorer off the bench. Obviously, Luke Kennard being a guy who's capable of those kind of things. Derrick Rose in spurts as well could be that guy for the Pistons. But it's kind of a little bit of the opposite of last year, and a lot of the same players were on the second unit last year as well. But, you know, Stanley Johnson, before he got traded, he helped the second unit defensively a little bit last year. Bruce Brown played some minutes with the second unit, even though he started a lot of times because Reggie Bullock was a guy who was definitely going to be playing with the starters. So it feels like there's less defensive talent right now on that second unit, and it's going to be something that Sean Sweeney and the coaching staff is going to have to figure out going forward, is how that group can stop people. And we know that we do expect, however, as much as the Zaza and Jose Calderon and throw Langston on there with Luka at times and the Thon Makers or Stanley Johnsons of the world pre- or post-trade, at least this year the conventional wisdom says that Luke Kennard takes a step forward and Derrick Rose can get you more buckets randomly. Maybe Christian Wood could be in a guy in that category as well. Svi Mykhailiuk with the ability to possibly heat up. I think that offensively that group will be a step and a half ahead of last year in terms of the ability to get buckets with the Blake Griffins and Andre Drummonds of the world on the bench in second and third quarter situations, or even early fourth quarter as well. My other main takeaway from this one is that Khyri Thomas got into this game with under 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and it just feels like we've talked about this many times with the Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, Langston Galloway, Khyri Thomas mix, especially with those guys, those three rookies from last year in Bruce, Svi, and Khyri. Those numbers just don't work. Those three guys are on developmental trajectories. There's only so many minutes that need to go around. You can only keep sending guys to Grand Rapids, and I do believe that Khyri Thomas could be spending a lot of time in Grand Rapids this year if he does end up staying with the Pistons, which I believe he will. You know, it's certainly a good chance he gets traded, but certainly a really good chance that he stays with this team as well. But at some point, especially for a guy who played a few college years, he's not a younger rookie last season, they're going to have to start making some decisions on those guys. And the way it looks right now, the way that we figured it might look, and the way that it did look, is that Khyri Thomas appears to be the odd man out on this group, which is unfortunate because he was always kind of the guy who had the most two-way potential out of those three. Svi probably being the most offensive potential, Bruce definitely being the guy who had the most defensive potential. But Khyri Thomas was a guy who could play that Tony Snell role, albeit in a smaller stature. Maybe he could grow into that as far as being a bit player in the rotation that plays defense and sits in the corner and knocks down threes. Now, obviously, that's not happening right now for Khyri Thomas, and he might be falling out of favor with this franchise, which, like I said, don't mind the idea of trading up to go get him in the second round a couple years ago. You figure between Bruce Brown and Khyri Thomas, two second-round picks, if you're able to turn one of them into an NBA contributor, NBA rotation player, and even a starter in year one and year two for Bruce Brown, that's successful. That's good work in the second round. And unfortunate for Khyri Thomas, but we'll keep an eye on that situation, obviously, going forward. But up next, we're going to hear from Tom Goris, the Pistons owner, from Monday's Henry Ford Performance Center unveiling in the new center area in Detroit. And that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
It's a pretty exciting day, a milestone for our organization. Thank you, Mark. As Mark said, it's a community asset. You know, when we kind of took on the team, we knew we were stewards, not owners, not this and that, but really stewards of a community asset. And it's been very exciting, but to activate it today, this is not just a practice facility or the Pistons Performance Center. This is really about, you know, acting with the city. And so it's pretty exciting. It's an opportunity to unite, as we all, you know, want to do, and so on. And the facility will speak for itself. You know, the players have had some, you know, piece of it, this and that, but it'll speak for itself. And it is one of the best facilities, not just in the NBA, but the world. And we're pretty excited about it. Mark has, you know, sweat a lot in getting us here. But the thing I'm proud of is the city coming together. This city just continues to come together. The fortitude, the resilience, the adversity that we've overcome as a city, it just continues to bounce back. And what better lesson, really, for our team? We say be tough and be strong and be resilient. Like last year, we got through some adversity and we had to. But, you know, we're walking the talk in the city. And we just want to be a part of that. I mean, this is, so I have to just say thank you to the people in the city. Mayor, your enthusiasm, and, you know, I'll see these clips, and I don't know how you keep your energy and enthusiasm going, but just your energy for us, cheerleading for the city, and you want to win, I really, really appreciate it. And right, the partnership is excellent. We did this. We did this together. And I think as much as you have brought and Henry Ford's brought all the expertise, and we'll have 50 doctors and nurses and all of that stuff, but really your nimbleness in being able to get this done in such a short amount of time and your partnership, you know, the way you handle it has just said so much. And I understand why you're a great leader. So I appreciate the partnership. And, you know, and there's going to be a health aspect to it. We want to keep everybody healthy in Detroit, right? So this is not going to be just a performance center. This is a place where we interact, where many, many things can happen. At the end of the day, what we have here is not the Pistons Performance Center. That's our official name with Henry Ford. It's an interaction center. It's a place for us to come together. I think we have 200 events planned here annually in the next 12, 14 months. You know, this is a place for kids to be. We want to open this up for kids. And if there's any kid listening, I just want to remind you, when you come here, have fun. You have a good time. But then when you go home, I want you to work hard for your future and go live your dream. And don't let anybody else tell you that your dream's not possible. And I remind you, as a little boy from Flint, I mean, crazy that I'm not here. So, never. That's one of the things that we have to instill, and I know we believe in. You know, our organization's here. It's about health and wellness. The economy. I mean, it's great that we'll continue to infuse the economy and you know, more jobs. We need jobs. Everybody needs jobs. We have to do that. It should be a place of inspiration, and that's what really gets me excited. I mean, it's our players' home, but it's inspiration to the city. This should enhance everyone's day-to-day lives, and that's really ultimately what we're looking for. And it is beautiful, and all the material in this big screen, it's all incredible. But if we don't enhance people's lives, what have we done? And if you can make that little difference, all of us, you know, one by one, to me, this will be a great success. Somebody asked me the other day, are you satisfied, Tom? Oh, that was a terrible question. I'm not satisfied. We would never be satisfied, because we always have to be the best. Am I proud of what we have? Yes. We have a lot of work to do, just like our team's got work to do. We're pretty excited about the season coming up, but we have a lot of work to do. And there's a good craziness when you're always trying to get better. There are really good things happening. In Detroit, we're not going to sit still. We're committed to this. All the way. So very proud of, you know, not so much us here. We just get the good fortune to sit up here. Just proud of the city and thanks.
And that is Tom Gores, the Pistons owner. The reason I wanted to play that audio for you guys is because, you know, Tom Gores has turned himself into a little bit of a punchline, a little bit of a cartoon character in the area here at times. As if you listen to the show, you know that I defend Tom Gores a little bit more than most people do in the media, particularly more than the sports radio group would or something like that. I think that he's a guy who spends resources and puts an investment into this franchise, and he should be applauded for that. He doesn't spare expense when it comes to Stan Van Gundy, Dwayne Casey, and obviously moving down to Little Caesars Arena, all that entailed, and the construction of the Henry Ford Performance Center with the direction of Arne Tellem, obviously a big part of that. So, you know, of all the buffoonery and all the stuff that's talked about with Tom Gores and the his antics at the game and all that stuff, and like I said, well-deserved for him to be a punchline at times, but he also deserves a lot of credit on days like Monday and a lot of times, but specifically on days like Monday when he's got his act together. I know his hair is a little ridiculous, but he's a real dude, and he's out there, and he's making changes for the city of Detroit, making changes for this franchise. And we want to give a salute to Tom Gores, the Pistons owner, for the work he did and the investments he's making in the city of Detroit and also this particular investment in particular. So anyway, that's it for our show. This is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're going to talk more about the Performance Center. We're going to look ahead in the preseason as well on tomorrow's show. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening.